You glad you came to church this morning? I know I'm glad. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. My text this morning will come from verses 15 through 19, and I will address additional verses in the chapter. My name is Earl Hammonds. I am your missionary to the Dominican in Haiti. We had a wonderful experience this past July. Pastor, it blows my mind that we're almost in July again, and it's been a year since y'all came. Thank you for sending the group. And we were overwhelmingly blessed by your presence. And one of the things that shocked me was Josh gets off the plane and starts jabbering in Spanish. I'm like, Josh, who knew? Then the next thing I know, because he speaks Spanish, he's getting into trouble. Then the next thing I know, he's leading worship in the services. He's like, everybody wants Josh now. I'm like, hey, what am I? Hermano Josh, right? See, and we had a wonderful, wonderful experience. Also, you sent Christmas bags. And I showed the adult Sunday school class a video about that. You can go to our website and see all of those videos. We have it listed there. And if you are not receiving our monthly newsletter, take advantage of signing up for that. What's your website, Brother Earl? It's real easy. HammondsMission.org. You see that? Just put .org on there and you'll find me. In fact, all you got to do is type in my name in Google. You'll find me. I'm the only crazy Earl Hammonds missionary living in the Dominican Republic, okay? So sign up for that, follow our ministry, and we would greatly appreciate it. So this morning I want to give you a word that the Lord gave to me before coming over. I got to fly back to the Dominican on Wednesday, but I want to share with you a word about how we can let the nations know and how we can fulfill our personal destiny in our lives that God has for each and every one of us. But there's a formula that we must follow. So I want you to go to Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 15, and I'll read down to verse 19. The Bible says, "So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, 'Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves.' And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city." This morning, I want to focus in on the phrase, "My house is a house of prayer for all nations." I live in a different nation than you do. I'm what's called an expatriate, an expat for short, because I live outside of my passport country. This passage of scripture is near and dear to my heart. Last month we celebrated Easter, did we not? And the week before that we celebrated Palm Sunday. This is a story where Jesus is coming in to the Jerusalem city. They're laying the palms down. He's riding on the donkey. They're yelling, "Hosanna," to Jesus. He gets off of the donkey, goes into the temple court, and immediately sees a big old flea market going on. That's what he saw. Now, we're from the South. Are you saying you don't know what a flea market is? Thank you, brother. Thank you. They sell fleas there, don't they? One brother said, sometimes they do, especially over there in the puppy section, right? Yeah, exactly. They were having a full-blown flea market right there in the house of God in the temple courts. And Jesus didn't like that, did he? Why? Because they were abusing and misusing the intended purpose of the temple. And I submit to you this morning that when we misuse and abuse the intended purpose of our lives, we're not fulfilling our destiny. Now, you've got two options this morning. You either live your house, your life in the house of prayer for all nations, or you live your life in the den of thieves. It says it right there. My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. The Bible is referring to Isaiah 56, 7, when Isaiah writes, "For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." And also in Jeremiah 7, 11, refers to a den of thieves. Just so you understand the definition, a den of thieves refers to the practice of cheating people, deception, either through crooked exchange of money or by selling inferior products. Well, you say, well, wait a minute, brother. Oh, those people needed those oxen and sheep and dove. Yes, they had traveled a long way and they didn't bring a live animal with them. And when they got to the temple, they needed to make a sacrifice for their sin, because this is a reference to the Old Testament. And so they needed that. Well, supply and demand happened, and these crooked vendors started setting up their shop inside the temple. But the problem is they weren't selling animals without spot and without blemish. You see, God always requires a perfect, sinless sacrifice. That's why I can't die on the cross for my own sins. It has to be somebody else that's perfect, and there's only one. And who is that? That's Jesus Christ. That's how we escape. That's how we escape hell. That's how we receive the favor of God. So I want you to know that, first of all, the house of prayer is an attempt to let the nations know. Maybe you thought, well, whoa, isn't salvation just to the Jews in the Old Testament? Au contraire. No, salvation was for all those who believed. Do we not have the story of Rahab? Do we not have the story of missionary Jonah, who went to Nineveh to help those ungodly people hear about the gospel? Yes, we did. And the reality is that if we are going to fulfill our personal destiny in life, we've got to let the nations know. Now, how are we going to do that? Number one, I got 3 points for you this morning. Number one, you got a clean house. Clean house? What are you talking about? That's right. The first thing that Jesus does when he goes into the temple is he sees people misusing the intended purpose, and he walks over and he asks the guys, hey, by the way, I'm sorry, you can't sell that here. Would you mind? Shh. My faith is very private. My faith is private. Shh. You can't sell those sheep. Is that how Jesus did it? No, I don't think so. My Bible tells me he walked over in holy indignation. The account of John says that he took a cattle prod or a whip, and he went after those oxen and those sheep, and he drove them out. And he went over to the tables and he turned them over. What was he doing? He was cleaning house. And let me tell you something. The dirtier your house gets, the longer it takes to clean it. Hello? Why was Jonah in the belly of the fish 3 days? Because he went 3 days away from the Lord. And I'm here to tell somebody this morning, the longer you're away from the Lord, the longer it takes to get back to where you were. And so you may need to clean up your house. I believe that there's three things that we need to clean up. First of all, our lives. Does the Bible not tell us in 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, who you have from God? If you are going to understand that your own very temple is a house of God, you got to start with yourself. Before Tammy and I moved to the Dominican Republic and Megan moved to the Dominican Republic, you know the first person I had to clean up? my wife. No, no. That's the wrong answer. No, she had to clean me up. No, I had to clean me up. What does the Bible say over there in Mark chapter 11 in verse 25? Here's a cleansing opportunity. The Bible says in verse 25, and whenever you stand, Mark 11, 25, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Brother Jimmy, it's in the Bible, I have to forgive him, but he did me wrong. He did me dirty. I got knife wounds. And the Lord said, hey, Earl, you want to go to the Dominican Republic and be a missionary? Clean it up. Amen. Get that bitterness out of your heart. Get that unforgiveness out of your heart. Whatever the case may be, I don't know your story. You don't know all of my story. But I do know this, that if you're going to use your personal temple, according to 1 Corinthians 6:19, for its intended purpose, to be a house of prayer for all nations so that you can fulfill your destiny in life, you've got to start with yourself. I can't control the actions of other people, nor their thoughts, nor their motives. And by the way, husbands and wives, the sooner you figure out you can't change your spouse, the sooner you're going to find happiness in life. Somebody needed to hear that this morning. Because I've been trying to change my wife for 35 years. How's that working for you, Brother Earl? Well, she's watching by the simulcast right now, so I better behave, right? Yeah, she's been working on me. You know what? Hey, if your marriage is in conflict, why don't you focus on yourself? Well, she doesn't do this, she doesn't do that, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. Well, if you need it done so bad, why don't you just do it and shut up? Oh, that sounds like denying self, doesn't it? See, a lot of times, husbands, you're willing to die for your wife, but you struggle to live for your wife. It'd be easier for you and I to take a bullet for our wife than to serve her every day. And by the way, every day you serve her, you're serving Jesus Christ. It starts with me. Number two, it starts in my family. If I'm going to fulfill the spiritual destiny for my life, then that bleeds over into my family. Those that I get to influence the most. Whether it's my immediate family or extended family, you get to influence those people because you will normally spend more time with your blood relatives. So therefore, take advantage of cleaning up your own family. You know, there's a story in the Bible of Joshua chapter 7 and verse 13 that when the children of Israel were going to conquer, they were going to fulfill their destiny in life and leave the den of thieves and go into the house of prayer. They had to cross over the Jordan and they had to conquer different cities in their journey. Their very first battle was against a city called Jericho. And God strictly told them, now listen, you go across, you go to battle, and I'm going to give you the battle. I'm going to give you the victory. But don't take any of the spoils, the stuff. And God was saying that belongs to me. Pastor, I believe that was a tithe. Because out of all of the promised land, it's interesting that God didn't let them have the spoils of Jericho. He said, that's mine. Now you give me first, and I'll bless the other 90%. You know, that's what tithing is, right? Well, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. You know I teach Haitians to tithe. A good month may be $200, right? And here in America, I had a guy take me to barbecue the other day. I don't know if y'all know this, but y'all's barbecue prices have gone up since I've been. Brother Tom, can I get a witness? Brother Tom bought my barbecue lunch one time. And good Lord, we go to that restaurant for two people to eat lunch was $73. I was like, ooh, that's almost a whole month's salary for a Haitian. I know, and I explained to the Haitian people and to the Dominican people, yes, I am blessed. Yes, I have a car and you don't. Yes, I am rich. I admit it. But I'm more than just rich, I'm blessed. But guess what? In America, yes, we have land of opportunity, but it costs a lot more to live there. And then I tell the Haitians, you know what? You need to tithe. I was teaching my very first seminary class in Haitian Creole. Hello. Just did that. I did an 8-week intensive. Now, I had Pastor Menor sitting in there. So if I didn't know the word in Creole, I could ask, you know, I could say it in Spanish and then he would translate it. And that's one of the things we're trying to teach the Haitian people. No, you don't make a lot of money, but that's not important. 10% belongs to God. It doesn't matter. So I reached into my pocket and I pulled out 2 coins and I slammed it down on the table. And I said, you're tipping God, you're not tithing to God. And then 2 of the students reached up and grabbed those coins. I go, hey, you don't want that. You just took cursed money. That belongs to God. They were like, okay, I don't want it. And as the children of Israel crossed over, God said, don't take the stuff. But oh, there's always one in there. It's a dude by the name of Achan. And he was going to cause an Achan. And he took the stuff. And he took it back to his house. And he buried it in the backyard. And then the very next battle they go to is this little bitty enemy called Ai. They go over there and they get spanked by an inferior army. Joshua comes back. He falls on his face before God and he goes to clean house. God told him over in verse 13 of Joshua chapter 7, there is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemy until you take away the accursed thing from among you. I'm here to tell you that it starts in your family. Here's the problem I've got. Where were the high priests? You see, my problem is the high priest of the temple were allowing these inferior products, were allowing the flea market to set up, and they were not fulfilling their intended purposes. How many of y'all are dads this morning? Would you raise your hand? If you're a dad, raise your hand. Okay, guess what, dads? You're the high priest of your home. There's another word for it. It's called gatekeeper. Now, here in America, we don't have a lot of gates, but if you'll see in Claudiabel's house, we just built her a gate. Well, why is that? To keep out the den of thieves. People were trying to break into her house. Thank goodness, and that kind of motivated me to put the gate up. Thank goodness we had put bars on her house and they weren't able to access her house. And my thing is, these people are so poor. I'm like, what are you going to steal? But they will. They'll steal pots and pans. It's crazy. So you know what? We built her this beautiful gate. And guess what she gets to do every night? She gets to keep the gate and shut it. And she's not married. So guess who's the gatekeeper? She is. So wives, if your husband's not the gatekeeper, guess who is? You are. And by the way, if we drill it down to cleaning house, we're all our own gatekeeper. You decide what comes in and what goes out. Well, I shouldn't have said that. Control your gate. I shouldn't have gone there. I shouldn't have said this. I shouldn't have looked at this. I shouldn't have. Control your gate. So the high priest weren't fulfilling their priestly duties. My question to you, are you living in the house of prayer for all nations, or are you being deceived by the den of thieves? I believe also we got to clean up our churches. Why is that? Because let me ask you a question. Do we need all these beautiful tools to worship God? Oh, I will tell you, the band brought us into the presence of God this morning. It's a blessing to come back to the U.S. and worship in your own language. Okay? And brother, you did a fantastic job. You ushered us into the throne room of God. Thank you, praise team. And I wonder if in our churches we need to reevaluate, are we spending our time and our resources for our churches to be a house of prayer for all nations, or are we in a den of thieves? I pick on Vacation Bible School a lot because it's a good illustration. In the Dominican Republic, you can do Vacation Bible School with a color sheet and a crayon from the Dollar General. And in America, you got to have thousands of dollars to put on Vacation Bible School. Are we in a house of prayer or are we in a den of thieves? We spend $500,000 on the sound equipment and send $50 to the mission field. I'd say it's time to clean house. I've gone to Midland. Let's move on. If you're going to fulfill your personal destiny in life, you need to clean house. It starts with you. Number two, if you're going to fulfill your destiny, you got to learn from Jesus Christ. I love verse 17. It says, then he taught. Who's he? My Bible has the letter H capitalized. It was the guy running the show, Jesus of Nazareth. And my question to you, what are you learning? Man, we've pushed into 2024. What are you learning in your spiritual life? What is God speaking to you about? Well, I can't hear him. Well, then you need to clean house. You got too much den of thieves going on and you can't focus. What is the Holy Spirit telling you? What is your word for 2024? What are you attempting to do? What is God doing in your life? Where are you living, den of thieves or house of prayer? I believe there's two things we need to learn. First of all, we need to learn the power of faith. The power of faith. Look at verse 20 of Mark chapter 11. Here's the story about faith. Start in verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Verse 23, Mark 11. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. I don't want to make excuses for the Bible. I don't want to say God is a good luck charm or a slot machine. But I'm here to tell you this morning that when I stood before that empty lot 4 months ago and the neighbor came over to me and said, Pastor, that's for sale. You know what I said? Lord, I'd love to have it. God, if you'll give it to me through the generous donations of God's people, I'll build that out for you, Lord. And I've done it again and again and again. That church in Monte Cristi that we finished last year, I'll never forget in October of 22, I was going up there to preach. I had my dad with me and his friend, and we wanted to go up there and visit, and I was preaching and go up there, and I get there, and then there's that little bit of shell done. There's the property purchased, a few rows of block laid up there. It was late at night. They had already started the singing. We walked over there on holy ground. And God said, Earl, I need you to finish this church. And I said, Lord, I don't have $55,000. He said, have faith in God. You know, one of the things that I got to clear out in my own life every day is the doubt. You know what the enemy does to me? I don't know if he does this to you, but this is what he does to me. He'll say, hey, Earl, you know what? God took care of you yesterday. Oh, yeah, you got your God stories. You got all those things that God's allowed you to be a part of. And yes, the enemy will admit, okay, God's taking care of you today. And then you know what that old sorry house of deceit and den of thieves tells me? He won't do it tomorrow. He did it today, and just not tomorrow. And here I am standing before you saying, you know what? God's told me to do something. I need to do it. Have faith in God. And God's meeting the needs. And hopefully this summer I'll be sending you photographs of a completed outdoor ministry space, and we're reaching people for Christ. Have faith in God. You got to learn the power of faith. And when you learn the power of faith, it's a process. Because when I first moved to the Dominican Republic and we bought our first church building, I had enough faith of $35,000 to build our main campus, our main ministry headquarters. We had raised already 10,000 and I only needed another 25. I'll never forget when Pastor Edwin came over and I said, "Hey, Pastor, what do you recommend? Where should I buy?" We climbed up to the third story on that building right beside us and he said, "I would buy that building." I already knew the guy wanted too much money. And I heard the words, "Have faith in God. Fulfill your destiny." The next Sunday, I walked over there. I talked to the owner. I said, "Show me around." I said, "We want it. How much you want?" He goes, $72,000. I go, "Have faith in God." And that was before I knew that the buyer in that country paid for the closing costs. I was like, "Oh, we got to pay the closing costs on top of all that?" Have faith in God. I told him right then and there, "We want it." I walked across the street. It was a Sunday morning. Kelvis was getting ready for church. I walked into the church. I said, "Well, we're buying that building." I can't do that every time, but I knew on that particular day, in that particular instance, God told me yes. Not audibly, but the circumstances lined up. And I took advantage of it because I wanted to learn the power of faith. Now that I've gone through that, we've built 3 ministry houses, another house up in Monte Cristi. We're buying this property. And oh, by the way, in December, a missionary was leaving the field and he called me and he said, "Hey, you want to buy my van? I'd love to have your van." What y'all don't know is when the mission trip came over, we only have 2 ministry vans. And the last night that we went to eat, not everybody could fit in my van. And so after we got done eating, Josh and Pastor and a few others, they had to walk. Walking for Jesus. It was more like sweating for Jesus, wasn't it? But it was downhill. Don't feel too bad for them. Remember that? And the pastor goes, or the missionary goes, "Hey, you want to buy my van?" I said, "I'd love to have your van." And he sold that van to me for $10,000. Well, I didn't have $10,000, but you know what? The Lord knew I needed it, and it showed up just in time. Now, are you living in a house of prayer for all nations, or are you living in a den of thieves? I believe you got to learn the power of faith by growing, and you trust in this instance, and God meets the needs, and you trust again, and God meets the need, and your faith grows. And then I believe you need to live the power of faith. One of the things I began asking God to give me 18 months ago is the capacity to be able to speak Haitian Creole. Mueble pale creo parce que tout monde besoin tande l'évangile. Si ou capable tande moi et ou capable comprendre moi, s'il vous plaît, levez-moi. Si usted puede entenderme, por favor, levántate tu mano. Si usted puede entender. Oh, mi amigo, tú puedes hablar español. Oh, yay. You didn't know we were going to have the gift of tongues in the Baptist church. Brother, could you understand that first language? Okay. You know what that was? That's what the Haitians speak. That's Haitian Creole. That's our other ministry. That's the ministry that's growing by leaps and bounds. And I prayed to God. I said, "Hey, God, you already gave me Spanish." And I began learning Spanish 10 years ago. And now I can teach and preach and lead and guide in Spanish. I said, "Lord, can I have another one?" He said, "Have faith in God." Now, did I push a button and all of a sudden start teaching Creole? No. I have to work for it, don't I? Study every day. Live in that culture. Spend time with those people. You live the power of faith by living out what God has told you to do. And then finally, I want to leave you with my third point, and it's a very sobering point. That if you're going to live in the house of prayer instead of the den of thieves, you need to expect. Oh, I hate to even say it. We read it, you just didn't see it. You need to expect opposition. It says it right there, verse 18. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. And Pastor Jimmy, what's crazy is that's the church people trying to take him out. That's the church folk. It's like one pastor said, "I don't have to worry about the lost world taking me out. I got to worry about the Christians taking me out." Hello? Quit calling us Christians a bunch of hypocrites, because we already know we are, okay? I am a hypocrite, but I'm a saved sinner by grace. And every day I choose to live in a house of prayer. And sometimes that den of thieves looks pretty good, and I ease over here. And then I come to my senses, oh no, I don't need to be in that den of thieves. I need to get back over here to a house of prayer. Can I get a witness this morning? Amen? Even us Christians can be deceived. Opposition is real. I've felt it and experienced it. I've been in 3 automobile accidents in the Dominican Republic. All 3 have been either me going to church or coming from church. The most recent one was last month, and it was bad. I don't even want to talk about it. Bad. It's bad. I was on my way to the Haitian Creole service in Barrio Nuevo. And I was going to preach in Creole for that service. And boy, the Lord had given me a fresh word, and I was ready to deliver it. Then Minor and I were packing up. We were heading over to Pastor Benjamin's church, where you just saw the kids saying, "Bonjour, Pastor Loni." And I was going to preach for the very first time. His church had never had an American missionary preach there, let alone in Creole. And boom, I'm in an accident on the way to church. First thing I thought of is, I hope they're not hurt. And number 2, I hope I don't miss this opportunity to share. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in an accident in a foreign country, but it's not fun. And when the police show up and they take your driver's license, you're like, uh-oh, I may be here for a while. Praise be to God, I was able to get out of there, show up on time. The singing had just finished. They sang a few extra choruses, but the Haitians don't mind, because they love a little overtime for Jesus. But anyway, they were still singing. And I rolled up in the pulpit and preached. And I was, you know how like after you have an accident, your knees are wobbly? Come on, people, you never been in an accident? You know how your body goes into trauma and shock? I was going through that. I was like having an outer body experience. And I was like, opposition's real. The enemy didn't want me to preach. And then I turned around and we drove all the way up to Pastor Benjamin's church. And we preached. I was just thankful my car could still run. And we made it there on time. I don't know. You may be in a season of opposition. But I'm here to tell you, if there's opposition happening in your life, don't drift to the den of thieves. Stay in the house of prayer and clean house. Let's pray.